The personal stories expressed in this series reflect the true experiences and opinions of the guests and may not represent the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles has said,
"There is hope for the addicted, and this hope comes through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ and by humbling oneself before God, pleading to be freed of the bondage of addiction and offering our whole soul to Him in fervent prayer. Priesthood leaders can help as those who have addiction seek counsel from them. Where necessary, they can refer them to qualified licensed counselors and LDS family services. The addiction recovery program adapted from the original 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous is readily available through LDS Family Services."
In this series, you will hear actual meetings discussing each of the gospel principles of addiction recovery and healing. Addiction recovery meetings have strict guidelines of confidentiality and anonymity. These podcasts may seem contradictory to such standards. All the participants in these meetings are active participants in the addiction recovery program and have willingly volunteered to participate. Their experiences are genuine and not fabricated. These recordings were created with the express purpose of providing a way for individuals who are isolated from recovery groups to participate, as well as provide an example to church leaders and members of a typical meeting. In this portion of the addiction recovery meeting, you will listen to one member share his or her own personal experience with Step 12 of the addiction recovery program.
Hi, my name's Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
I'm glad to be here tonight. This is by far probably my favorite step. This step is what has brought me more peace and more blessings than several of the others combined. I just wanna begin by saying that the reason I'm here is because the Savior loves the addicts still out there suffering. And I pray that my story might be able to affect those that are still suffering. I want to talk about a quick story that happened to me. My wife, as she was pregnant with my first daughter, we decided we was going to go out for dinner. And we have a couple restaurants out there that we like to go to, this really nice steakhouse. And that's where, you know, my first impression was to go is to that steakhouse. So we hop in the car and we're heading out to go to that restaurant. And, you know, as I was heading there, I was craving steak. And then I received an impression to go to the, you know, lower end restaurant next to my house. And, you know, I was craving chicken fried steak for some reason. I didn't really understand it, but I received this impression that I needed to go there and have chicken fried steak. I mean, I was passing up a 12-ounce sirloin to go have some chicken fried steak. So I flipped the car around and we head back and we get to the restaurant and we walk in and get seated, and the hostess seats us. And as I look up, here comes my waitress. And, you know, I looked at her. She looked a bit worse for wear. She was missing a couple of her teeth. And, you know, I was like, oh, man. So she comes up. She gets us some drinks to get started, some waters and whatnot. And when she comes back, she goes to take our order, and as she's flipping open her notepad, I happen to notice a piece of aluminum foil in there with some black squiggly lines, you know, running down the foil, and immediately I recognized what that was. My wife had no clue, and it was a piece of foil that she used to smoke heroin with. Now, I was faced with a choice. And as I was faced with that choice, I received an impression that I needed to say something to the waitress and serve. But I, of course, you know, I tried to ignore it because I didn't know this lady. There was no way I was going to say anything to her. So I tried to ignore the impression, and it was a still small voice that originally impressed on my thoughts. And the more I tried to ignore that impression, my conscience started eating at me, and it was like, instead of a still small voice, it was more like a yell. But the yell was more for my conscience. So I argued with it. I was like, no, I can't say nothing to her. And, you know, she brought our food out. And, you know, that chicken fried steak I was craving, I could not eat a bit of it. It was sitting there getting cold. And my wife was looking at me. She says, "What's wrong with you?" I says, I nothing. But I continued to try to ignore it. And then finally, I just told my wife, I was like, you know what? I was like, I have to say something to that waitress. And she says, "Why?" I says, "Because she has heroin in her notepad." And I recognized it. And she's like, "Don't say nothing." So I was like, there's a confirmation that I shouldn't say nothing. But so I argued with it a little bit more. I thought to myself, you know, I'll run out to the truck, grab a pink sheet, leave that with her tip. That'll be good. But you know, that stirring in my soul just got stronger and stronger. And finally, you know, I didn't eat hardly any chicken fried steak. And it was getting close to the time to leave. And I had the pink sheet there with me. And I told my wife, I was like, you know what? I really have to say something to this lady. So she says, "I'm going to the bathroom." She left me there high and dry, fending for myself. I says, "Okay." And as I stood up to let her out to go to the bathroom and I turned around, the waitress met me right there. And I was like, I grabbed her. I just put my hand on her shoulder and I says, you know, I just wanted to let you know I saw what you had in your notebook." And she immediately melted. She says, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." I says, no. I said, "Don't be sorry." I said, "Look at my arms." I showed her my arms. I says, "I have been exactly where you were at." I says, I've been put here today because your Heavenly Father is aware of you. I said, "And he loves you so much." I gave her the pink sheet and a $10 tip. I said, "You was a fabulous waitress." I says, "Heavenly Father doesn't want you to go through this no more." And I started bearing testimony of my Savior and what he has done for me and the impact that has happened in my life. But by the time I got done talking to her, she was just weeping. She had to leave the restaurant. She went into the back room and she just, you know, every hair on my body was standing up. I heard ringing in my ears and a burning inside of my bosom that was stronger than anything I've ever experienced before in my life. And I knew right then that I had been at the exact place that Heavenly Father wanted me to be at that exact time. It blows me away sometimes to know that Heavenly Father loved that waitress so much that he blessed me with 18 years of experience with drug addiction, that I was able to recognize, you know, what she had in that or that notebook. And I like to believe that Heavenly Father has that sort of awareness for every one of his children. And that blessing of service that day to just be able to, you know, let her know what's worked for me, it makes me feel good still. And I love you guys. I love the newcomers. I want to see you guys in these meetings, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Steve.
The full episode for Step 12 of the Addiction Recovery Program is also available on the Mormon Channel.